This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 406 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
How goes it?
It goes. It goes. A little round and round, up and down, you know.
Yeah. I do know, actually. It's pretty solid.
2 weeks in a row, we're recording. And
yeah, I don't have a ton to talk about, but I kind of do, maybe, but I don't.
Okay. I like that's similar.
But anyhow, I guess let's jump in both feet. TV shows. You are behind on What We Do in the Shadows.
I am caught up now.
So I did not watch episode 10. I decided I was going to wait and double feature that with the season finale.
So I saw something interesting about the season finale. I haven't seen an official news story to back it up, but some people are saying that it looks like there are going to be alternate endings. They're going to have, like, if you look at your guide channel, they had three in a row of What We Do in the Shadows, and then the description of two of them said alternate ending. So I don't know if it's fake or if it's real, but I'll be interested to see if they actually do that.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see, I guess. I didn't realize that was what they were doing. But you had to watch...
Come Out and Play.
But you okay.
Which I was hoping was going to be a Green Day reference, but instead it was the Warriors.
It was a Warriors reference. What did you think of this one?
I really liked it, honestly. I liked the chaos that ensued because, you know, it raised one question. So when they thawed out Jerry, or didn't thaw him out, but brought him back because they didn't wake him up in time.
Yeah, they forgot he was taking a slumber.
Yeah, so he was upset that they hadn't conquered the world, that they hadn't conquered the new world, they hadn't even conquered more than their street. And they were supposed to be the ones that were conquering. But then when we get here to the Baron's big, you know, celebration that Jerry had set up, there are so many vampires, and they're all different clans, they're all different types. And why is it then on the shoulders of these four yutzes that we've been following to have conquered the new world when there's all these other vampires?
That's a fair question.
It just seemed a little odd to me. But yeah, so basically I loved watching the monster, you know, defend Nadja.
Oh yes. I thought that was fantastic.
Although it feels like a little foreshadowing where basically Laszlo's saying that, you know, he created the monster to protect Nadja in case he's ever not around, and we're coming up on the finale. So I'm worried that they're going to kill him off. Hopefully not, but maybe they're all going to die. Maybe Guillermo will kill them all accidentally.
Well, we do find out that Guillermo's cousin has got Van Helsing blood in him.
He's like, oh, you were hypnotized. You wouldn't remember it. He's like, what?
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yep. Let's see. What else?
So in the episode... the Baron, Jerry creates an event for the Baron to honor him, mm-hmm. and then basically talk shit about the Baron and their plan to take over the world, why they haven't done anything, and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And the Baron's intent is to kill Jerry. But when Nadja comes to defend the Baron and then Jerry starts turning on Nadja, well, like you said,
oops.
And then the rest of these vampire clans go after the, what do they call them? The Manhattan vampires?
Yes. The Staten Island vampires.
Staten Island vampires, yeah. And then we get our Warriors reference, and and I think it's just fantastic. And what's funny is we don't find out to the end that the Baron was just pissed off because he wanted to kill Jerry in front of everyone to show, right. You know what I mean?
He's like, of course I knew.
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to kill him to show him, like, don't, you know, to show, make a example out of it. So. But the promotion was last week. The finale is tonight. So next week or, well, we won't record next Monday. I have a family Christmas party. But when we record again, we'll have, we'll finish up what we do in the shadows.
I will say that, I did watch the promotion and it was really good.
Nice.
Really, really enjoyed it. Can't wait for the finale. Although sad that it's going to be over.
I'm still
kind of happy.
Nope. I get that one. Did you watch Creature Commandos?
I sure did.
I am a big fan of this show. This episode, Cheers to the Tin Man, was fantastic because we get G.I. Robot's backstory with Easy Company in World War II and killing Nazis and then everything that happens after that.
It was a phenomenal story.
Yeah, I really, 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 really enjoyed it. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, Julia said about halfway through the episode, she's like, are they going to make me eat my words? Because basically, as you know, last week when we were talking about the first two episodes, I was like, the only character that was really annoying to me was G.I. Robot, because he kept speaking of himself in the third person. Yeah. And, you know, he had to narrate everything. And I was like, hopefully that'll change. 180. I loved the character. And this was a phenomenal story for him. It painted him in a whole different light. It made him so much more likable and relatable. And
I loved when he got bought as an antique to a collector and he meets this guy who brings him to his house and with him and his cats and he's so great. So he brings him to a socialist meeting and they're Nazis.
Neo-Nazis.
And somehow G.I. Robot gets a grin on his face. Like, they're Nazis. And now he's excited and happy so he can kill all the Nazis.
Which was the same grin that he got on his face when he asked Flag, are these people Nazis? Flag goes, yeah,
sure are.
Sure are. And he's like,
And then we see his updates. And I know what happened with Cersei with him. I don't think that's the end of G.I. Robot, quite frankly.
No.
I loved Weasel attacking Cersei Phosphorus. That was fantastic how they did that.
And of course, then we have to get the twist where she's like, oh, I was trying to save the world.
Yeah, you guys have doomed the world or whatever it is because she was trying to kill Rostovic. It was just great. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. You know, cheers to the Tin Man is what Easy Company says when he saves everybody from the Nazi ambush. Mm-hmm. And then they celebrate him after and just everything else. And he is very much primarily focused on killing Nazis.
It was interesting because, like, he made friends with them. You know, everyone said, oh, he's just a killing machine. And he even said that his primary function, his directive was to kill Nazis. Like, that's what he was programmed to do.
Yep.
But he, when asked what he would want to do, he was like, well, I want to kill Nazis. Well, what if you didn't have to kill Nazis anymore? What if you didn't have that directive? What would you want to do? And he was like, I'd like to meet up with my company, you know, Easy Company, and check in on them and kill Nazis with them. So he still kind of had it there, but then he actually, like, he keeps getting experimented on and just ripped apart. When he goes to the collector, like, it almost seems like he's got a friend. You know, the cats love him. He's sitting there. He, like, dresses him up. And he seems like, oh, he's a very nice person. Oh, we could be friends. But then, it turns out he's a Nazi. And nope, sorry, even though you were a friend, must die. You're a Nazi.
Yeah, blast him right in the face.
Yep. And then takes out the rest of them. And that's what he goes to jail for. which is,
yes,
that must have been so confusing to him.
Yeah, it was interesting because it's like, okay, yeah, he killed a bunch of Nazis, but he still killed people.
Human beings.
Human beings, yeah.
Unarmed.
Yeah.
You know, we're just peacefully assembling, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
That must have
been difficult for him.
Yeah, because he's like, I'm programmed to do this. It's my whole directive. And now I have to go to jail for it. But he did. He spent his time. And it was also interesting. It's like, it's Cersei didn't kill Nina or the bride.
No, didn't kill anybody.
In fact, she made sure that that Nina was in the tub filled with water.
Yep.
So that she wouldn't die.
Yep.
She put the bride's arms back after she made them into basically balloon animal snakes the week before.
Yep. Yep.
And just made sure that she was locked up. So the only one that she actually quote unquote killed would be G.I. Robot. But again, like you said, you know, he exploded, but his head was still talking.
Kind of disassembled him
because he
was killing everybody.
Right. So she is a villain. Like, let's not get it wrong. Cersei is a villain. But in this case, she wasn't trying to kill them. Like, she could have easily killed all of them. She could have killed the princess, like, from a mile away.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm curious what's going to happen in the next episode. I'm hooked.
I know that they had a next time on at the end, and we're going to get Weasel's backstory, or at least part of it.
I didn't watch that.
I'm very excited. I really like this show a lot. I'm really digging it.
I really think they're doing a great job with it.
Yep. And again, James Gunn has impeccable taste when it comes to pairing music with things. Like when G.I. was having his moment there, flying up in the sky and killing all of the sons of Themyscira, and it was to Coin Operated Boy.
Yep.
Fucking amazing. As soon as the first notes came on the doom, doo 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 doo, I was like, oh, yep. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it was, I like the length. Apparently I'm real big on the 22 minute episode. Yeah. It's not too long. It's not dragged out. I think it has a lot to do with my Twilight Zone rewatch that I'm doing right now because I'm on the 2002 series with Lawrence Fishburne with Forest Whitaker as the host. And the first couple episodes were hour long. And I was like, oh, God, I don't know if I can do a whole season of this. And then they went to the 22-minute format. And I have just thoroughly enjoyed. I'm more than halfway through the series. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it since they went to the 22-minute format.
Nice.
Yeah.
There is something to be said for that. Like I said, you know, Julie and I sometimes will be like, oh, we got to, you know, we'll be doing projects around the house. We'll say, you know what, let's sit down and have lunch and watch an episode of Big Mouth because it's like 22-24 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking forward to getting into the Harley Quinn animated show because the same.
Yeah, when I was talking to her the other day at the office, she made mention that you had said we need to watch that, that you guys need to watch that. Yeah,
they're getting a fifth season. I just saw a trailer for it the other day.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
I still think the best scene from that show is the episode where the Scarecrow pulls Bruce's cowl off. And Joker's pissed.
Yeah.
He's like, that was the mystery. The fact that I didn't know. You think I couldn't have done that myself? I didn't want to know.
Yep. And now I do. And the game's ruined. And
yeah, exactly. And by the way, I put a down payment on the Wayne electric car, blah, blah, blah. Where's my goddamn car? Electric car, Bruce.
That. And I love the episode where, oh God, what was his name? The doctor, I can't remember his name, but he's the psychic, and he drops the C-bomb on Wonder Woman, and everybody loses it. Whoa, you can't do that. Like, the villains turn on him, the heroes turn on him, like, the world turns on him. Ooh, that was great. Yeah, all I can think of is Dr. Phosphorus now because of Creature Commandos, but I saw somebody had an interesting post about Creature Commandos, and they were dissecting it. One of the things they said was, if you'll notice, Phosphorus didn't want to kill Flag because he could have. The way that he just, like, incinerated the bullets and then punched straight through that Sons of Themyscira thug, like, just impaled him. But when he fought Flag, he beat the crap out of him. He burned him a little bit, but he never went for the kill, and he could have easily killed him.
Absolutely, so, could have easily killed him.
So that's an interesting thing too. Just like Cersei leaving the ladies alive.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, I'm a, like I said, I'm a big fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to more episodes in the future.
Let's see. Still going on Big Mouth, you know, just watching it here and there. It's not like we sit down and binge multiple episodes, but still going on that. I have not watched any more Silo yet because we're letting it build up, but I did see something interesting today that it was just renewed for season 3 and 4, and that season 4 will be the final season. So they've got a roadmap. They've been renewed. I like that. You know, that gives me more hope that I can sit here and watch this and not worry that it's going to get canceled early or anything. We're getting the full run, the full story. Ta-da.
Yep. Yep.
Happy about that. You still haven't watched any of it, correct?
I have not. No, but I don't have the Apple Plus.
Well, it's what, $7 a month?
Yeah, I just don't have it on there. Yeah.
I recommend it. You know, I know Ted Lasso's over. That was one of the big draws. But there's a lot of good shows on there. Shrinking, I really want to check out. Silo is good. I think you'd enjoy it, especially knowing that it's going to get a bookended, you know, series.
I mean, I do like that. That is appealing to me. Because they have the start and the end to the story. And that is appealing as opposed to getting canceled and you don't know. Or ever since Supernatural, I'm a big fan of. Ever since Supernatural, I'm just a really big fan of the. We know how the show's going to end and them ending it.
Yep.
Because that first 5 seasons was so fantastic.
Absolutely. I'm hoping that they get the opportunity to do that with From, because it seems like they're getting renewed one season at a time.
Yeah.
And I know that the creators said that they had about 5, maybe 6 seasons in them to tell their story. So season 4 is coming up in 2026. I'm hoping they get the opportunity to tell the whole thing, which I'm sure they will, because this is quite a popular show right now. Speaking of renewals, Man on the Inside, the Netflix one with Ted Danson that we've been really enjoying and that every episode makes Julia cry in one way or another. Mm-hmm. They just announced today that that's getting a second season. So hooray for that. Love this show. Honestly, it's so sweet. And again, fitting in your parameters, it's 24 minutes an episode.
That is a big, big appeal. Yeah.
I definitely I was watching it. One of the main residents of the facility, the girl who's very interested in the men, you know, she's a bit of a hound dog. She likes to go after the guys that come in. I looked it up. It's freaking Sally Struthers. I would not have recognized her at all, but that's Sally. I will also say that we watched some more Evil, and what you had talked about starting to come more to fruition. Angry about the fact that essentially she was caught dead to rights.
Oh, yeah.
The two police officers, not just her friend, which I would have been like, okay, her friend's being nice. I get it. But the other one, her partner. And she's like, let me take care of this. She's like, he was a bad guy. He deserved to die.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry about it. Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
No, I'm like, that is, excuse me. This never would have happened.
That is horseshit. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. It should not happen that way.
And that's kind of a running theme that I'll get into later with some other stuff that I watched, a couple of movies that I watched. It takes me right out of it when I look at this, whatever I'm watching, whatever I'm consuming from media, and say, that would never happen. That is unrealistic. This is incorrect. Anything like that takes me right out of it and it frustrates me. So in this case, that really fucking frustrated me. I'm like, there is no way. Again, if it had just been her best friend and she was like, look, I'm going to help you make this go away. Okay, we've seen that a million times before. But her partner, who doesn't know this woman from fucking Adam, It just found her with the murder weapon, and she's like, oh my God, you had motive. You don't have an alibi because they checked with her daughter. Yeah, you don't have an alibi. You have a motive. We found you with what looks like the possible murder weapon because it's serrated.
Yeah.
She should be all over that. Yeah, they have an unsolved case.
And instead they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine.
She tells the partner, hey, why don't you give us a minute? And she's like, don't worry. He deserved it.
Yeah. He's a bad guy. He was shitty.
Which I guess kind of ties in to the entire theme of the episode, which was that the cops are bad, you know, because this was the episode where we got the cop who shot the black woman in the car and claimed he saw a gun. So they have to check and see if he was possessed for a moment. And you've got the cop show that's been going on for years. It's basically Law and Order or one of those types CSIs. Yeah. And that guy's a bit of a scumbag. And then at the end of the episode, you know, all the cops are pulling over people and, you know, oh, well, just wanted to make sure you get home okay, because they're sticking up for the producer of the show. So I guess it kind of goes with that theme, but at the same time, it missed the mark because instead it just feels like, woof, this would not happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little rough. It's a little rough. Anyways.
I think the only other show that I've got to talk about was this week's episode of Ghosts.
Oh, yeah. So I watched, I'm a little behind on Ghosts, apparently. Okay. I watched The Primary Source.
That's the only one that I've watched as well.
Okay, so you didn't watch Sad Farnsbury that came out 4 days ago, apparently?
No. I thought that I just had the one, and then we watched it, and then like later on I was like, oh, apparently there's another one.
Yeah, so we apparently watched the one we thought we had, and then I didn't. Then the next episode got released, so we kind of did the same thing. I didn't realize there's another episode until right now when we were recording, because we had that couple week gap and everything.
Right.
So The Primary Source, basically the publisher tells Sam that, hey, yeah, we love the book and we're going to send my guy out there so they can check the source material to make sure it's valid.
Oops.
And yeah, it didn't work out that way, did it?
Because of course, you know, it has to be shenanigans. So Isaac remembers he kept a diary that it was at Fort Sumter. It was 3 paces from this one wall under a loose rock. They go there, they find it. But it's all just basically stupid little notes and ramblings about like, oh, tried a sandwich today. Don't think this is going to catch on. Saw George Washington eating a sandwich. What's up with him? And so it wasn't going to help them at all. So instead, they forged it. They decided to forge it. And I love the fact.
They found that book so easily, though, at Fort Ticonderoga. That was the thing. Like,
that's what it was.
Like, the rock it was under wasn't even that like big of a hidden rock.
I know. You'd think by now somebody would have discovered that.
Yeah, like that wasn't like, yeah. And it was not even like in the fort. It was outside the fort. I still like it. It's just, it was very like much a suspension of disbelief, though.
Oh, yes. Yes. Which, again, is becoming a pattern. An unfortunate one. So, yeah, the guy who's come to authenticate, he has to wear special clothing, including a smock that looks just like the basement ghosts. And so he kind of wanders in and is standing there watching Jay and oh my God, I almost just called her Rose because that's her real name. Watching them, Sam. Yes, Jay and Sam finish their.
Yeah, the forgery. Like, what's going on here? Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys, how many times do I have to explain this? We just forged the diary so that we can fool the guy who's coming to. He's like, why would you tell me that? Because he looks like he's just one of the other ghosts. And so Sam thinks he's just one of the other ghosts, but he is not one of the other ghosts.
Nope. Because as soon as he put it on, Kate goes, oh, She's gonna, you know, like they're gonna think he's one of the basement dwellers.
Yep.
Like, they sure are, honey. Good job. Good call.
So basically, now they're considered frauds and they can't publish the book. However, they put a spin on it. Now, this was interesting. So they put a spin on it where he was a vampire and, you know, they were going to make it like a saucy, Randy kind of book. Why couldn't they have just gone with the I thought that they were going to go with the fact that he was gay in real life. And talk about the fact that he had to hide that he had a wife and,
yeah,
you know, make it saucy that way.
They went the other route. That's for sure.
Yeah. They went vampires and weirdness.
Yep. Yeah. They went the other route on that one.
But then the side story is that the other ghosts discover a ghost snail.
Yeah. That was hilarious because, oh, he's going to step on it. Wait a second. And then Trevor like confesses about it being its true friend and this and that and everything. And I turned to Kim like, the snail's going to get sucked off.
Uh-huh.
When it happened, it was hilarious.
He says, I think you're a very good boy. And then the light comes down and Trevor's like, oh, I'm getting sucked off. Yeah. No, it was the snail. And he's a snail, it took him forever. Like that was even the
PS. Yes, I love how they went back later. Yeah, exactly. They went back later on and he still... slowly rising up.
He's like, look, man, this is great, but I gotta go. You got this though, no problem, see you later.
Yeah, you're a good boy. Yeah, no, I was a big fan of it. I thought it was a great episode. I think we got not a Christmas episode this week, but we have the Sad Farnsbury, which I don't know what that's about, and then the 19th, I'm guessing that's the mid-season finale because we have a two-part Christmas episode.
Ooh. Exciting.
Yeah. So later this week, that is. We have a two-part Christmas episode. Let's see here. I've already touched on The Twilight Zone. Well, that's it. I don't have any other TV shows we're watching. I mean, well, The Waltons, they just put on Peacock, the complete run.
Oh,
so we started watching that. We're like four episodes in, maybe five. I don't know. We just kind of put them on like we're having dinner. Like even though it's an hour long format, we can just stop it. I don't worry about finishing it. It's just a nice background show for us that we enjoy. Kind of like Little House. We watch that a lot.
Yeah.
I thought about watching the first episode of the new Dexter series.
But it was on at 10 o'clock last night.
And it was 49 minutes long, and I'm like, I'll just go to bed instead.
Yeah. We're going to watch that this week, for sure. Yeah.
I might check yeah, exactly. But otherwise, I got a couple TV specials to talk about, I guess.
I've got a TV special and two movies to talk about.
I got a couple movies. The TV specials, nothing to deep dive on. Okay. So Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, I watched that. It's fantastic. The song, I don't know what Christmas is, but it's Christmas time right now. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. What it's even more amazing is I found out that the old 97s who sing the song in the special actually played it live in concert on their tour at Christmas time last year. So that's fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The kids and I, we watched Jack Frost. That's Kate's favorite. We watched Charlie Brown Christmas, you know, two classics. And then I remember that there is a Tales from the Crypt Santa Claus Christmas episode. And okay. Tales from the Crypt, the TV series, actually isn't streaming anywhere currently.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Max would have it or something.
Yeah, I know. So, but I watched it on YouTube and it's actually season one, episode two. So the second episode ever is their only Christmas special. And it's from Vault of Horror issue number 35 and All Through the House. And it's basically about a woman who murders her husband and then is kind of stalked by a crazy guy that escaped the insane asylum and is dressing as Santa Claus and likes to murder people and they're trying to find him. And, you know, the old Tales from the Crypt movie that came out in like 1972, it's basically these people end up going to this tomb, and then the crypt keeper, not like the cool puppet, but like just a guy in a robe, then tells them, it's like an anthology movie. And I think it's Joan Crawford plays, they covered this story in the movie. It's only like 15 minutes long. So I watched that as well. But the episode is directed by Robert Zemeckis. You know, the Back to the Future guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he directed the episode, and Fred Decker wrote the episode. You know, the guy that wrote and directed Night of the Creeps and Monster Squad. So there's some big names on that.
Hmm. No doubt.
Yeah. So that was really fun. I enjoyed that thoroughly. I plan on watching the X-Files Christmas episode, and if I can find it, Haven and Warehouse 13. I'll have to check those ones out again. It's been a while.
Yes.
What's your special?
I watched on Netflix Sabrina Carpenter's Nonsense Christmas. It really wasn't good. Like,
that's a choice you made.
I like Sabrina Carpenter, and I like some of the guests that she was going to have on there. I mean, she had Shania Twain. She had, oh my God.
Hey, Shania's going to be in Bangor in July.
I saw that. I'm blanking on names. Sean Astin. Sean Astin was on there as Santa Claus. Chapel Roan was on there. But overall, it really wasn't a great. They tried to do it like the traditional, like a variety hour, where there's some songs and there's some skits.
Yeah.
It just didn't play out well. I didn't really like it. Julie didn't really like it. At the end, we were like, well, that's something we watched.
So I didn't realize, like, I'd heard the name Sabrina Carpenter and I recognized it sort of, but it wasn't until I saw a link the other day that I actually dawned on me, or I realized that Sabrina Carpenter was the Sean Hunter character in Girl Meets World.
Yeah.
I just didn't put it together. And then I didn't even recognize her that until I saw like an old image. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Now that's all I can see is her. Okay. I get it now.
Makes sense. Yeah. Cause she was a very different person back then.
Yeah, exactly. Kate and I watched a couple more Christmas carols.
Okay.
We watched the 1951 version with Alistair Sims. I don't ever need to watch that one again, and that's my dad's favorite, and people praise that one for being so good, but I liked the 84 George C. Scott one better. Okay. Hell, I liked the 1938 Reginald Owens one even better than that. So we still have like three more to watch. We have the Reginald Owens one. We have Muppet Christmas Carol, because Michael Caine's just brilliant because he treated the Muppets like they were actual actors. That's how we looked at it.
Okay.
And then I think I'm going to check out the Patrick Stewart one. I've never seen that one.
Really? You've never seen that one?
Nope.
Oh.
And then we'll probably watch Scrooged with Bill Murray because it's, you know, good.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. And then we watched the 2019 BBC and FX 3-hour miniseries one, which I absolutely love. It's such a great version of the story. It's got a great ending. I enjoy this one thoroughly. If you haven't watched it yet, you get like 6 more days before it disappears from FX, apparently, according to the thing.
Oh no.
Oh no. What was your movie?
Two different movies. One, we watched the Netflix holiday special, The Merry Gentlemen.
I heard that's like a really bad version of the Full Monty.
Yeah, it's not great. It was interesting because Marla Sokloff was in there, and I was like, oh, I know Marla Sokloff from Sugar and Spice and Dude, Where's My Car? She's also the writer of it. It's a screenplay by Marla Sokloff. I was like, oh, okay. She's not the main star, though. Chad Michael Murray's in this. Michael Gross is in this. You know, the guy from Tremors / the dad from Growing Pains.
Eaton's dad, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. One of Sabrina the Teenage Witch's aunts from the Melissa Joan Hart version was in there.
Caroline Ray or the other one?
The other one.
Okay.
I can't remember her name. But again, I'm really blanking on names tonight. Having a hard one. Britt Robertson was the main character. And this was very interesting. So the concept is the basic Christmas concept. You know, she comes home for the holidays from being in the big city. She's a dancer in the Jingle Bells, which is like a holiday Rockettes. And she's been doing it for 12 years, and now she's too old, so they kick her out. Sorry, spoilers for anybody who wanted to see this cinematic masterpiece.
I was going to watch it, but not anymore.
So she comes home. Her parents own this place called the Rhythm Room, which is, you know, a place in town. It's a bar that live acts come to and play. But of course, nobody does that anymore because of things like TikTok and the internet. So they're behind on all their bills. They owe $30,000. They're going to have to give up their lease, turn it over to a juice bar. So she comes up with an idea to take some of the local men, three of them, and have them do a male review, an all-male review, which is not stripping. It's a male review, which she should have just said stripping because nobody knows what a male review is. But
sure,
stripping, sure. You know what that is. So the interesting part is that there's this barfly who, he's not a drunk. He just sits there and does his crosswords and stuff like that. He wears a fedora and he's got glasses. And I'm never even thought twice about it. And then I happen to look on IMDb to check out some of the other actors. It's freaking Rex Manning.
Oh.
And now becomes one of the dancers to fill in. And I didn't realize that Rex Manning was also, it's Maxwell Caulfield, not Max Caulfield, Maxwell Caulfield, who was also the main love interest in Grease 2.
Huh.
So he was the main love interest in Grease 2. And then he was Rex Manning. And now he is a male dancer. So, yeah, the movie goes exactly as you'd expect. And it is what it is. Came to the end of it. There were a lot of that would never happen. Oh, my God, that is so unrealistic. Are you kidding me? No, that would never happen. So I'm not giving that one a sell. I am not giving that one a sell at all.
That doesn't surprise me.
Did you watch any of the movies?
Doesn't surprise me in the slightest. Yeah, I got a couple more. So it's Friday the 13th last Friday. So Cousin Johnny came over. We watched Friday the 13th Part 4, the one with Corey Feldman. It's the one where Jason actually dies, spoiler alert, from 40 years ago. Because in the first one, he's not in it. In the second one and third one, we think he's defeated, but he's not killed. The fourth one, he actually dies. The fifth one, he's not in it. The sixth one is actually the first time he's resurrected. People just don't realize that. Haven't seen it in quite a while. Great, great flick. We also watched Never Hike Alone in the Snow, that fan flick on Netflix. It's only like, I mean, I think it shows it's 35 minutes long, but I think it has like 12 minutes of credits and thank yous and all that stuff. It's just a fun little story. And then we watched Krampus, the Adam Scott, Toni Collette one.
Remember that one.
I'd never actually seen before. I started watching it, but I got really, really annoyed with like the family, and I wasn't in the right frame of mind, and I shut it off, and it just soured me, and I've never turned it back on in a decade. So we watched that. It was a lot better than I remember, a lot better than I thought. I enjoyed it. It's not going to be a new annual watch for me or something I tell everybody about, but yeah, it was pretty solid.
Okay.
What was your thoughts?
I remember very similar. Like, it's been a while since I watched it, but I remember thinking, like, on the one hand, oh my God, this is dumb. But on the other hand, you know, it actually had some decent kills, and
it's kind of fun.
It was kind of fun. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's not as good as, but it's kind of like, what was that one? Bloody Night? Or Violent Night. The one with
Violent Night.
Yeah.
Violent Night's way better.
Aren't they getting a second one of those?
With David Harbour?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great flick. I don't know if they are.
I heard we're getting a second one that's going to include Mrs. Claus more.
That'd be amazing. I think I went to the theaters and saw Violent Night.
Oh, wow.
Sequel. In November 2022, Harbour mentioned there were discussions of Mrs. Claus appearing in a potential sequel during the production of the first film. The actor expressed interest in seeing Charlize Theron in the role in December of the same year. Ricola confirmed there have been ongoing discussions. A production could start in early 2025. Yeah, so potentially.
Hmm.
Potentially.
I'd enjoy that.
Yeah. The other movie I watched, my last movie to discuss, is something that I've heard a lot about. I've heard a lot of hype about it. Everyone seems to love it. Rare Exports, the Finnish film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this was one of those that I remember they were like, go into it knowing nothing and watch it and you'll love it.
Yeah, it's a movie I watched.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, the plot says an American and British research team from the firm Sub-Zero are drilling samples atop Kovertuna in the Finnish region of Lapland, and they think they found Santa Claus, but they didn't. And I just, yeah, I don't, it's not my flavor of movie.
Okay.
You know, it's got 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got a 7 out of 10 for a weighted average, 71 out of 8, 71 out of 100 in Metacritic or whatever. But it's just, it's not for me.
Think about Joker and how many people love that. Yep. Both you and I were like, apparently we're the two that didn't like it.
Yep. Eyes Wide Shut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People love that movie. It was a waste of my time.
Yep.
I'm not a waste of time, honey.
You're a waste of time.
She's being very nice to me right now.
Sorry. And we've got it all on tape.
No, it's all recorded.
I don't care.
She doesn't care. yeah, so again, I wouldn't, I don't need to watch it ever again. Okay. So, you had one more flick, you said?
Yep, I watched the new Netflix original movie, Carry On, with Taron Egerton and Jason Bateman.
Oh, how's that? I do want to watch that.
Okay, you should watch that.
Not feeling the positivity.
Nope. Nope, this one, There were some really good parts. Like, I really liked some aspects of it. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, that's kind of cool. And then there were some when you literally, it is unbelievable. They have removed all belief from it. You look at this and you go, I cannot believe that this is happening.
Interesting.
They're trying to make it another Die Hard kind of thing.
That is what I read. It's like, it's this holiday season's Die Hard.
Yeah, because it takes place at Christmas and it's at LAX and everyone's trying to get home for the holidays. And Jason Bateman is amazing. Don't get me wrong. I love Jason Bateman any way he comes. But he's got such a deadpan delivery, and they really have missed out not putting him in a villain role up until now, because he did it so well. You know,
so it's worth watching for that.
For him. Yes. Yeah. And for a few aspects of it. But some of it was just so unrealistic, unbelievable that it took me out. But honestly, it's not a horrible movie. I'll be interested. Once you've watched it, we can dive deeper into it.
Okay.
And yeah.
All right. Very low news and trailers this week.
Yeah. But I mean, it's only been 1 week, so.
Yeah, so here we have to go back to the stupid, I send you trailers and it doesn't show me what it is.
I don't know why they're doing that now.
Oh, 28 years later. I don't know.
So I remember 28 days later was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then we watched, what was it, 28 weeks later or 28 months later?
28 weeks later.
And we were like, this isn't that good, because it focused too much on the two kids and traveling into the city and stuff like that. And it didn't have the same oomph that the first one did. There were too many like sacrifices that didn't need to be made.
Right.
This one, I don't know. do we really need it? Do we need 28 years later?
No, we don't. I don't think we do at all. And here's what's crazy is that they actually filmed it back to back with 28 years later, part two, The Bone Temple.
Ugh.
So like they didn't just film the one flick. They filmed two flicks.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if it came out in 2030, okay, sure. Because 28 days later came out in 2002.
Hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't watch the trailer and go, man, this looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other video I sent you was Channing Tatum training to play Gambit, and it's fucking amazing.
It is.
I will give him all the credit.
I'm about to make a name for myself right here.
He looked awesome. Like, I really do hope like that cameo gets him his own feature movie.
I would like to see that as well.
That was a Ryan Reynolds charity commercial with Linda Carter.
I would love to see a Gambit standalone movie where the villain is Rogue in her villain days.
Ooh.
Because there's always that between them. I would love to see that as her. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. I sent you the trailer to Novocaine. Nathan Kane is a mild-mannered introvert with a rare disorder, cognitive insensitivity to pain, who must rescue his girlfriend who's been taken hostage in a bank robbery. It's Jack Quaid as Nathan Kane. Mm-hmm. This looks awesome.
It looks quite funny.
Yes.
The only thing that I felt like
it looks stupid.
Yes, absolutely. Like Guns Akimbo kind of thing, which I still have to watch with Julia. Because she loved Boy Kills World. So I was like, you gotta see Guns Akimbo. But ever since there was an episode of House that you probably remember where a girl had this disorder, and they talked about how hard it was for her to live. Because like she could get infections so easily. She constantly had to be checking her body for cuts and scrapes and bruises. And it was like nonstop. So like it's hard for me to look at this and be like, well, how does he live till this point in his life? But it looks ridiculous and fun and
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
It looks like ultra violent, like Nobody or John Wick or something like that.
Yes, with a lot of humor in there.
Or Guns Akimbo, even, yeah.
Yep.
You sent a thing about Prison Break getting a reboot on Hulu.
What they need to do is they need to do what I said for the first Prison Break. The first season of the original Prison Break was fucking phenomenal. If they had ended it right at the end there and they didn't go on to other seasons where they had big conspiracies and their mother's really alive and she's... No.
His tattoos were worthless after the first season.
Exactly. And all of his planning and everything was worthless because the whole conceit of the first season was that he had planned out around this prison meticulously.
Yeah.
Let that be it. Let them escape
and
then end the show.
Yep.
DC has greenlit a Clayface movie. They said that Clayface and Scarecrow are probably going to be the primary villains in the next Batman Robert Pattinson movie.
Yeah.
And so they've greenlit a Clayface movie, which is going to be a horror.
So this is not in the DC canon then, the James Gunn DC universe.
I'm not sure.
Because Batman's not and Penguin's not.
That's true. That's true. So, yeah, I guess not.
Basically, if like so.
But Alan Tudyk will be voicing him again.
He's decided that. If it happened in Peacemaker, except for the Justice League cameo, it's canon. If they talk about it in Creature Commandos, it's canon. What they talked about, not like the entire film, but maybe what they what they talked about. I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check that out. They released DC or James Gunn, whoever you want to call it, released the poster for Superman and announced that the teaser trailer is going to be released on Thursday.
So excited for that.
It's going to be an IMAX. I'm going to the theaters to see this. I'm going to see the Superman movie in theaters. That's not a doubt. Do I go to IMAX and Saco to watch it? That's where the question lies. And I can't decide because And it was filmed for IMAX. Hmm? That's key. And like you said, not everything needs to be seen in IMAX.
But it is the first Superman movie we've gotten since Man of Steel.
Yep.
And it is going to be...
He's been in Justice League and Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. And
but this is the first Superman movie.
Yes.
Man of Steel. And we're going to get... this is the first feature film in DC, James Gunn's DC Universe.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot of
oomph
behind it.
It does. It really does. And so part of me wants to go see it. Like, I definitely going to go see it in theaters, but then it's just like, do I want to go see it on the giant screen?
It's a tough call.
Yeah. I mean, the last movie I saw at IMAX, I've only seen three movies at the IMAX. We saw Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the Christopher Nolan flick.
Inception.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Avengers. Mm-hmm. One of the Avengers flicks.
I think it was the original Avengers.
Yeah, probably was the first one.
And I also saw Star Trek.
Yes, I went and saw it in Augusta because I couldn't make it because of work. You went and saw it with me.
It wasn't work. It was because your daughter was born.
Oh, was it then?
Yeah.
I knew it was a reason.
Yeah.
But we did go see it in Regal. And yeah, that probably would have been cool for IMAX. But realistically, Avengers and Transformers, I didn't need to see in IMAX. Inception, because of that, was cool on the big screen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I found that most times that I've gone to IMAX, I come out thinking, I didn't need to see that in IMAX. It was cool, but.
Yep. Yeah.
Especially with the drive to Saco. That's the problem. You know, you're talking
an
hour and 20 minutes in each direction.
Really fucking far away.
Yeah. And there's no reserved seats, so you got to get there early enough to hope that you get the seats that you want.
Yeah. Yeah, I think really, I mean, I don't know. I have months to consider it.
Yeah. Couple of things that popped up tonight that I didn't have a chance to send you. They just announced that Star Trek Starfleet Academy is adding Becky Lynch from.
Yeah, WWE. I saw her do a video about it, and I was like, whatever.
Yep. And Kraven the Hunter has now set a record for being the lowest grossing opening of a Sony Spider-Man universe movie. Like, even Madam Web and Morbius did better than this movie.
I still want to see this.
I have heard nothing but bad. Like, legitimately, even people who were like, I thought this looked really good. It was terrible. I watch a lot of movie critic people on, and I, by movie critic, I mean, like, they're people like us who go and watch movies.
Yeah.
And I've watched a lot of them on TikTok, and all of them are saying the same thing. They're like, yeah, I'm excited. And then they're like, wow, that really sucked.
So
I still want to see it, but I'll see it when it comes out home.
I saw Morbius in theaters. I liked Morbius. I saw Madam Web at home. I thought it got shit on more than it deserved.
Mm-hmm.
I've been looking forward to Kraven based on the trailers, but
yeah,
it looked I also great. Heard negative. At this point, though, with Christmas coming, I don't have time. Tomorrow, I'm going to NXT and Lowell. Wednesday, I'm going to Bangor for work for the day. Thursday, I'm going down to Biddeford to drop off a basket. So, I mean, I guess I could go in the evening, but he's got so much going on. Wednesday night's AEW, so no. Thursday, you got a haircut at 5. Friday, we got a Christmas party. Saturday, I got to drop off Addison and pick her up at work at the Civic Center. Sunday, we got a Christmas party here at the house. Monday, we're going to my mom's. Tuesday morning, we have it here with the kids. And then Wednesday's Christmas. So, like, my next week is jam-packed. And I don't see me squeezing a movie in there. And I don't see it staying in theaters much longer than that, if this is the case.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. I am seriously considering Christmas evening going to see Nosferatu, though.
I remember everybody saying that The Exorcist was the scariest movie they had ever seen. For years and years, I've heard that. Decades, I heard that. And I watched it, and I was like, no.
Meh.
So everybody is talking about how fucked up and crazy scary Nosferatu is. Bill Skarsgård has said that he will not play another creature this evil. And this is the guy who played fucking Pennywise. So I feel like it's getting overhyped for me, unfortunately.
I get that.
Yeah, I'm just worried that all this hype and all these people say most evil, most scary, most freaky. So, you know how you've reached that point where you're like, well, now it can't live up to the expectation, and I'm probably going to be like supremely disappointed.
Mm-hmm. I get it. No, I do get what you're saying. But yeah, on Christmas Day, they're playing Mufasa and Sonic. They don't have Nosferatu on Christmas Day at Regal in Augusta, so maybe I'm not going.
Interesting.
No shit, but they're still playing. They're playing the Terrifier 3 on Christmas Eve, and they're playing Red 1 on Christmas Eve, but that's on Prime right now.
Did you realize, by the way, that Beetlejuice is on Max?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that, but I saw it in theaters, and I don't need to watch it again.
I'm going to check it out because I haven't.
Yeah, you should. I think you would enjoy it. It's a good flick. It's just I don't need to see it in theaters. Wow, are they not getting Nosferatu in Augusta? At Regal?
Seems weird.
Yeah, it really does.
I'd have to go to Waterville.
I mean, when's that coming out? It's coming out on Christmas Day, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, it's opening December 25th, and there's no showtimes near us for Regal. Well, that's too bad. I wanted to watch that. Oh, well, I guess I'm not going to.
You have been thwarted.
Yeah. Let's see if it's playing a flagship in Waterville.
If not, try whatever it is now. It was Railroad Square Cinema.
Yeah. Nope, it's not. It's wild.
Railroad Square's got to be playing it.
This is not an art house movie, though. It's a major release, isn't it?
It is.
Maybe they just haven't posted it yet. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe they just haven't posted it.
That's a possibility, too. I mean, you are 10 days out, 9 days out.
Yeah, but they have the Christmas Day schedule up.
Yeah.
But there's only two movies listed. Nosferatu is opening December 25th at Railroad Square in Waterville. Yep, it sure is. Coming soon. Yeah. That's wild to me. Like, to me, this is supposed to, like, I'm viewing this as a large, wide-release movie, not an art house movie.
Right.
All right, well, I guess that's that.
Sorry.
Anyhow, all right, how can you find me on social? I mean, I got nothing else to you.
Nope.
Cool. I'm on socials. I'm Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And at the earliest, we're going to record in 2 weeks.
If we're lucky.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Take care.